We're going to be looking at the story of Job in the Old Testament, so you can go ahead and turn there now, and I'll read the first couple of verses. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was blameless and upright and one who feared God and shunned evil. And 7 sons and 3 daughters were born to him. Also his possessions were 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very large household, so that this man was the greatest of all the people of the East. As we just read, Job's life was a pretty good one, we can say, because at the end of verse 3, he's known as the greatest man in the East by his possessions and by him being an upright man in God. So when we know that he's a righteous man and we know that he has a lot of possessions, through the rest of the first chapter of Job, God talks to Satan, and God talks to Satan, and God is telling Satan how there's no other servant like Job, because he is just so faithful and so committed to God that there's just no one else like him. And Satan is saying in chapter 1, verse 11, I'll read that after, actually. He's saying that the reason why Job is such a faithful follower of God is because he really doesn't have a reason not to be. He has all the possessions he needs, and a lot more. He has a large household, and he has his health, and pretty much everything that someone might want and might consider a perfect life, Job has. Therefore, Satan is saying to God that he really doesn't have a reason not to be faithful. And in verse 11, Satan says, "But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. After God agrees to test Job's faith by letting Satan take away all that he has in the world, Job is at his house one day, and 4 messengers come directly at the same time while the other one is finishing speaking. And the message that they're bringing is the first 3 are about his possessions, and the message is that Job has just lost all of his livestock. He has just lost all of the things that made people consider him the greatest man in the East. He has just lost. And after Job has just got 3 messengers, and the 4th one is bringing the message that Job has just lost his family. So Job has just lost his family and his possessions. And after this, verse 21, he says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return there. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And in all this, Job did not sin charge with God, nor charge God with wrong. So Job has just lost all of this, and the only thing that we can see that he still has is his health. But that soon vanishes also, because Satan confronts God about, if Job just lost his health, then surely he's going to curse God and turn from God. So God allows Satan to put boils from head to toe on Job. And Job has now lost all his possessions and his health. After this, in the end of chapter 2, Job's 3 friends come to comfort him, or at least try to, but they sit there for 7 days and 7 nights, just sitting there with Job, waiting for him to speak. And they do this, and Job talks to his friends throughout the rest of the book, until about chapter, towards the end and through chapter 38. And that's what we're going to look at, right? We're going to actually look at chapter 40, verses 10 through 14. This is at the end of Job speaking with his friends, and God himself has come to give Job an answer, because after Job has received the boils, he eventually curses the day that he was born and questions why this is all happening, and this is God's answer to him. Then adorn yourself with majesty and splendor, and array yourself with glory and beauty. Disperse the rage of your wrath. Look on everyone who is proud and humble him. Look on everyone who is proud and bring him low. Tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together. Bind their faces in hidden darkness. Then I will also confess to you that your own right hand can save you. God has just answered Job, and at the end of these verses, God is ready to admit that Job has the right to question, has the right to ask why, if he himself can save himself. And we're going to look at after Job is confronted by God, the reason why he questioned and the reason why he asked why was because he thought he had lost everything. He thought he had lost everything there was to have. He didn't have it anymore. But the reason why this is the story I chose is because Job didn't lose everything. Job actually still had the one thing that mattered. And we're going to look in Matthew 16:26. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Even though Job had lost all his possessions and his health, the one thing he still had was his soul, and the one thing that couldn't be taken away was his soul. The whole world is not worth one man's soul, and the whole world is not worth forever in hell. The lessons that I've learned from the story of Job are lessons of hope and faith, because even after all these things had happened to Job, he still had hope and he still had faith because of his soul. If you still have God, then you still have hope. And let's look in John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The one you believe in has already overcome the world. And that's the one you believe in, that's who you put your faith in, and he has already overcome the world. If you still believe and you still have your soul, then you still have hope. No matter how far you are from God, you just have to stop and realize that even if you're holding on by a string, you're still holding on, and there's still hope. It's not over. If you're not dead in the grave and you're still alive, then there's still hope, no matter how far you are from God. If an example of that is Paul, because Paul was once a persecutor and a murderer of God's own people, Christians. And if God can take Paul and make him one of the most influential, committed, and faithful servants of God, then how much more is he able to do with you if you just let him? In Philippians 4:13, Paul wrote this letter. And it says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If Paul suffered for God's name and was beaten for his cause, but still had enough faith to know that he could do, that the one he believed in could do, he could do anything through him, then he, and he realized all things were possible. God was able to take his life and turn it around, even when he was going in the opposite direction. How many of us are assured tomorrow is going to come? How many of us know for a fact that when you go to sleep tonight, that tomorrow you're going to wake up and there will be a tomorrow? I'm sure most of us have not only plans for tomorrow, but throughout the whole week. As much as you have faith in tomorrow, that's how much faith you should have in God being able to take a hold of your life if you let him, and being able to change that. Let's look in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The Lord is he's not going to break his promise, and if you're faithful to him, he's going to remain faithful to you, and he's going to save you still if you're faithful. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. No matter how far away you are from God, if your heart's still beating in your chest and you still have hope, and that's the one thing that Job had but didn't realize at the time. The whole time he was questioning and the whole time he was asking why, he didn't realize that inside him, and through his faith, he still had a chance, and he still had more hope than with all his possessions combined. He still had more than anything he could have ever thought, because he still had his soul, and he still had hope. At the end of, we're going to turn back to Job and look at the end of this story, the end of the story that I chose. We're going to turn to chapter 42, look at verses 1 through 6. I know that you can do everything and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I do not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. And we're going to skip over to verse 12. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 female donkeys. And in verse 17, so Job died old and full of his days. Job finally realized that he didn't have a right to be questioning or asking why these things were happening to him. And he repented of his ways. And God remained faithful by not only giving Job back what was already his, but what he had already had, but giving him back more than he already had. It's never too late to repent, and if you can realize that if you're holding on by a string right now, you're still holding on. And if you can realize that and realize that the one who you believe in is the one who conquered the world, and that he can do anything with your life if you just let him, then you can stop holding on by a string and be secure in your relationship with God. And you can put your faith back into God. And that's the it's the end of the story. So just realize that everything's not lost because you're still alive. And if you're still alive, then you still have hope, and God will remain faithful.